Senator Reagan, I want to say we're going to call the meeting back to order. Turn this over to public comment session. Next group of public comment speakers are following Stephen McMahon, Pat Washington, Jacqueline Hutchinson, and Mark Meyer.
Evening, my name is Steve McMahon. I live at 8135 Stanford. I'm also one of the councilmen on the council. I represent the first ward, and I was going to read a statement from someone who's emailed to me today, so I will not have comments other than to have my own personal comments. Thanking all of you for the hard work that you're doing. We appreciate the due diligence and the amount of time and energy that you put into it. I'd like to thank the community for all of their robust engagement with us. I know it's been important for them to give us their ideas, and we are listening. That's the point that I think everybody at the council has had, despite some of the things that have been said to me or about me. I engage in a robust conversation because that's what's important, and I keep coming back to it and listening, despite some of the things that may be suggested, like I'm on the take, which is really no factual basis, but I don't let that stop me from listening, because that's a robust conversation, and it's elevating us above that, so we can find the common things that we need to agree on, so we can continue to move forward. As I sit here tonight listening, I hear more and more things that people are agreeing on, that this project will get us moving in that direction, the things that they want. They're disappointed it hasn't happened sooner, but now's the time that you have a council that's listening and willing to have that courageous conversation about things that may not have been done in the past, and they're willing to carry that water now, because now is the time to get it done. So I appreciate listening and having that conversation, even if it is uncomfortable. Thank you.
I'm Jacqueline Hutchinson. I am a third ward resident for the last 42 years, and for the last 8 years, I have worked collaboratively with the St. Louis Equal Housing Community Investment Alliance to negotiate public benefits agreements with financial institutions in the city of St. Louis and throughout the St. Louis region. So I have some experience and knowledge about community benefits agreements. So I want to start by saying that I am not against the redevelopment plan, and I am not against the TIF. However, I am against having it pass without having some type of community benefits plan. The value of a community benefits plan is that you bring together all of the stakeholders and you get consensus about how to move forward in a way that everybody wins. It should have been done as a part of the redevelopment plan. People should have come together, should have been brought together to talk about it, to figure out how we have win-wins, how do we make sure that our business partners, the businesses that I have been honored to go into over the last 40 years, that they don't lose, and that the homeowners don't lose, and that we don't lose the value of having a diverse community. And so I'd like to urge you to look at other cities. Baltimore has passed a TIF with a community benefit plan, and I'd like for you to take a look at some of those other cities who found value in making sure that there was a community benefit plan as a part of their redevelopment plan. Thank you. I was Jacqueline Hutchinson. Thank you.
Good evening. Pat Washington, 74 Plymouth Avenue.
I'm really upset tonight, and I came to ask this commission to do something revolutionary, something different, something outside of just rubber stamping what many believe to be an already foregone conclusion. And I came to ask you to exercise your latitude and pass this project of community benefit agreement. But I can't do that anymore. I can't ask that. And it's largely because of some of the tactics employed by Councilwoman Carr and other members of this council. I think it's unfortunate that our community has been so divided, and some of the tactics that have been used to divide and share information about this project. Our community is not an either or, it's an and. This project certainly can be a game changer for University City. But the fact that a group of us feel that we could probably have a community benefits agreement that would enhance even more something that is good for this community, and to be attacked and harangued and bullied and intimidated just because we want something more is unfortunate. So I'm asking this commission, do we really want to leave this plan in the hands of people who would engage in that kind of behavior without a community benefits agreement, without residents at the table to help monitor and provide oversight? Do we really want that? It's not about whether we have a Costco. It's not about whether there's a street paved or an olive. It's not about that. It's about this entire community and the process. And I think it's reprehensible. Some of the actions that have been made. You're right. My time is up. And it's also the time for this kind of political manipulation. The time for that is up. So thank you. I appreciate you. And I hope that you will do something that is beyond just checking a box and apply an equity lens to this project. Thank you.
And Sonia, I wanted you to have this article called Gentrification Debates Without Gentrification. It just came out August 14th, and it was published by University of Missouri, St. Louis professor. Last but not least, I'd like to see a show of hands, maybe signs, all the people here that want to invest $15 million in our community. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Hopefully we can make a difference for the better.
I feel sorry for you people because you're in a very tough position. I am against this at this point in time, and you need to hear that as well as everybody else in the comments. And it has to do with trust of our city council. And it just does not exist in too many cases, as you've heard even of bullying, from some of the people here tonight. How can we trust people who, up until 3 months ago, which the last lady made it sound like that was a long time, but it's a very short time, that we even knew anything about this? How can we trust people who show pictures of, they say a picture's worth a thousand words, but that's a dozen pictures. I didn't see any of the ones in the Myers Lumber or the good places in University City. One of the pictures was of a street in the Third Ward. Who is supposed to take care of the streets in the Third Ward? The city council. One of the pictures was of a sidewalk near one of the businesses, Nobu's in New City. That's already owned by the developer. Why isn't the developer taking care of those sidewalks? How can we trust people who make statements like this that just aren't true? At the first meeting, I'll never forget, the gentleman from the place made a comment that blight is only a word and it didn't really make any difference. Well, blight is a very specific word that gives an eminent domain. So, if they expect us to believe stuff like this, we just don't trust these people. So, before you vote yes on this, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but there needs to be a whole lot more trust gained of our city council before anything on this is moved forward. I know people have already sold their places, and there's a lot of people who haven't, and those people need to be heard too. Of course, the people who have already sold their houses are saying, go, go, go. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'd like to say that, for all these people that have talked about time, the first time that I heard that my neighborhood might be bought out, I believe my beard was black, my hair and mine was a lot stronger. I've heard a whole lot of stuff about, I was going to say different stuff. Mr. Smothers, in the last couple of meetings ago, indicated that we should try to spend our money in New City. So I've tried for the last few months to spend every dime in New City, every New City gas station, blah, blah, blah. And in doing that, I found that we're short a couple of things in New City. We don't have a real hospital. We need a quick trip, and we don't have a big box store. I had to make a couple of trips down to Walmart. And, that would round out the city a little bit. And since they replaced that intersection at 170 and Hollywood, it seems a waste. Not exploited. That's the best flowing intersection on the entire stretch of 170. And, if any place can handle the traffic, this is it. So, the only thing I really want to get across is that, U City needs something. This is something. We can sit and kick each other for the next 10 years and get nothing done. Or we can just proceed with something that makes sense, looks like it's going to work, and have a little faith in the new council members. Mr. Rose, our city manager, has been nothing but kind forthcoming and deserved article. The next time you run for something, it needs to come over and get a baby to get a call. It's like a week or two, man.
At this point, let me call on the city manager, Reverend Royce, for some comments.
Documentation that PGAB has produced for us
We've provided all the information that is not proprietary. It's been placed on our website. We want to be very transparent in this process simply because it's the right thing to do. I'd like to summarize two reports that I provided to the Executive Commission. And the reports were to highlight our outreach efforts. We had three meetings with business owners along the Olive Boulevard corridor. Now, some of you may reference one of those as the vacant zone, but even with that, we gained significant information. What we learned from that process was that there are residents that would like to see business owners along that area that would like to see a bike path to make the Olive Boulevard corridor more inviting for pedestrian traffic. The businesses that will be relocated want to ensure that we take efforts to minimize their downtime, as well as they want to ensure that relocation assistance is provided. I said in each meeting that I had with them that I will not be recommending caps as it relates to the amount of assistance that we would provide for relocation. The reason for that, each business is unique and the needs are unique. So I think it would be unfortunate and wrong for us to place a cap on it. We will be very aggressive in trying to retain all of the businesses that are in the impacted area here. We held two meetings with Third Ward residents, and those individuals that were not from the Ward, Third Ward, but primarily focused on what would be, how would the $10 million that we are negotiating to extract be used in the Third Ward? Let me tell you the top two priorities. The first one, home improvements to increase the quality of housing in the Third Ward. The second priority, encouraging homeowners. So, through our outreach efforts, now there are others that were raised, but the critical mass of the individuals indicated these were their priorities. I also want to talk a little bit about the meeting that we had with the clergy. And one part of it was trying to express to them the reservations that we have with the CPA. And also to clarify their position regarding a news release that went out. I won't get into the issue of the news release. I don't know that it's pertinent for this session. But I do want to talk about the reservations that we have with the CBA. What body will decide those individuals that will sit at the table and negotiate for the public? If the CBA is negotiating, what body will finance the enforcement of the agreement? If the developer decides we're not going to comply? The third, and perhaps the most important, who will be held accountable? How will the public hold those individuals that negotiate that agreement accountable? Those are some of the reservations with the CBA that we all have. Let's talk a little bit about a redevelopment agreement that we have already initiated the negotiations. If the developer decides, look, we're not going to honor our agreement with you, see, the mayor and council will take them to the court. They will pursue litigation. That's just a fact. The city is in a very healthy financial position. So
So we have the financial ability to ensure that the agreement that we reach with the developer is enforced and that they must comply. Finally, who will be held accountable? The very people that you elected into office. Those individuals are the ones that you have said represent me. Tell me when I'm getting a good deal. Those are the individuals that will be held accountable. I also do want to mention that there are other issues. Certainly the issue of gentrification as well as the CBA emerged. But there is no critical mass in those issues. There is a small group, very vocal, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm simply stating the fact that there is not a critical mass in those issues. Let me say that with that backdrop, I'd like to do two things. First is I want to ensure that I place my reports into the permanent minutes. And secondly, I would like to make a recommendation to the TIF Commission. Information has been provided to the TIF Commission that demonstrates the financial viability of the Olive Highway 7 project. An unprecedented amount of community outreach has been conducted, with the community indicating their priorities. It is with this backdrop that I recommend to the TIF Commission that they approve the resolution and send this to the Mayor and Council for consideration. If you want, Mr. Chair, I'd also like to take the liberty of introducing or bringing up the next speaker. The reason I would like to bring this next speaker up is because I had an opportunity to have lunch with him shortly after he became the mayor. We were at the East City Grill. If you haven't been there, you should, if you like Korean food. One of the things that struck me, as many of you know, the community has been divided for many, many years on various issues. The one thing that our mayor posted to me through this discussion is that there will be individuals that from time to time will agree with us, and there will be individuals that don't agree with us. For those individuals that don't agree with us, we will not vilify them because they love University City too. I'd like to bring up Mayor Crow.
Tonight to pass, I want to make sure everyone understands. $10 million of these funds will be set aside for investment in the Third Ward, and they will come out of the first set of revenue that are available to the city. Next, there will be a $5 million set aside for the businesses on Olive. I also want to make clear, on behalf of the members of council and everybody who works on the staff, we have your back. We intend to have minority participation requirements throughout the entire development agreement. We intend to make sure that there are employment opportunities not only during construction, but also for full-time employment once the development gets up. And we also want to make sure that there are relocation funds for all the businesses and the residents, because why in God's name would we want anybody to leave our city? That makes no sense. We are trying to make this work the best we can. I also want to say that if the TIF Commission does pass this tonight, the public discussion does not end. You are invited to every city council meeting. We have one Monday night. We have two in September. You are welcome to come and complain. You are welcome to come and say thank you. You're welcome to come say what you want to say in a 5-minute period of time. Also, as Councilmember Smotherson Clay said, there will be many more intimate opportunities for you to meet with your council members and me, and likely the city staff as well, throughout this process, because we need to hear from you. I don't think there has been a TIF commission that has had more public hearings or comment sessions than the one that you were experiencing tonight. Now, I also realize you folks care about this community, but the one thing I want to say to you is, I care about it too. We all care about it. And we may disagree, and that's okay. As the city manager spoke, some of us have disagreed for a really long time, and that's okay. But when this is done, all of us sitting in this room came forward because we're trying to make University City a better place. And to the folks who spoke against it, I appreciate your concerns. I understand that we may not agree on some things. Even to the folks who spoke against it from Sunset Hills, from Chesterfield, and from Tower Grove, you came and spoke, and we listened to you. It's our turn now. So what I'd like to say to you now is I am asking the TIF Commission to approve the resolution recommending the approval of the redevelopment plan for the City Council of University City. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I take it you're
motion relates to the resolution that's been circulated.
Yes, I do. It was posted on the website, as well as being sent out to my newsletter, a link directly to the website for the resolution.
Yes, please.
Okay. Resolution of the Tax Increment Financing Commission of the City of University City, Missouri, approving the Auburn Boulevard Commercial Corridor and the Residential Conservation Redevelopment Plan, designating the Auburn Boulevard Commercial Corridor and Residential Commercial Conservation Redevelopment Area, approving redevelopment projects for the redevelopment project areas 1, 2, and 3, and expressing its recommendation to the City Council of the City of University City, Missouri.
Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you. Is there a discussion by your commission members on the resolution?
I think the residents made a good point asking us to be courageous and asking that the discussion continue and that we move forward together.
Is there other discussion?
I would just like to say that we sat here kind of a trapped audience to listen to all the comments, very passionate comments. I apologize for my voice already for my brief comments and very recent stuff. First, I just want to say that every government action has winners and losers, positives and negatives. And this is certainly one that's complex and has both of those in it. I think the developer and the city has been working through this process to address those as much as possible, because it is the government's responsibility to minimize the disbenefits, maximize the benefits, reduce the number of people harmed, and increase the number of people who benefit. Now, I think that this process has been smooth because public engagement on something as complex as this never goes smoothly. But I think the city has overall done a good job of it. And if we pass this tonight, it goes to the City Council. So the responsibility lies with them to continue the discussion. I was glad to hear the mayor make that point. And continue to work to benefit everybody for this. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that this has been a trying process for all the citizens of University City, but as everyone has been, the TIF Commission itself, we have sat and listened and heard all of your comments. We are all proud Ucidians, and I am a very proud Ucidian as Ucidian as well. But what I would like to say to you is this is not the end of the process, this is the beginning. And the door is open to the City Council for you to continue to share your concerns and what you believe in and what you would like to see happen. As a Ucidian, we have always had the opportunity to come together collectively, whether it's been for something that we wanted or maybe that we didn't want. So I would like to urge each one of you to continue the process, and we can all hold our elected officials accountable. City Hall, the meetings are being held on Monday, and share your voice. And I want to thank each and every one of you all for coming out and sharing your concerns. Thank you.
Let me just add a few comments. I've lived in the University of City now for about 32 years. In that time, I recall much discussion about the development of the Auburn Corridor under I-170. I think this is the best proposal that I've seen in that regard. I do want to reiterate the comments that the TIF Commission, while having an important role in this the city of Chicago, or even the city of St. Louis. 300,000 people there, and you want to make sure that the specific community being affected by the development is served as a role. To me, we're talking about a city, the University City, that has 35,000 people. To me, the agreement, the redevelopment agreement between the city and the developer, really is the community benefit agreement. So I kind of look at it. Any other comments for the session?
First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Rhodes. I asked for, based on citizen comments, I asked for two additions to the resolution, and they were incorporated. One about bringing workforce diversity into the project, and another one about recommending that the bonds be sold in phases as the project's developed, and that was also included. So I just wanted to make that comment that was incorporated based on feedback. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Comments? If not, are we ready for a question? We're going to have a roll call vote on this. So if you're in favor of the resolution, please say yes. If you're opposed, please say no. Mr. Lynch, would you call the roll, please?
Yes.
Susan Armstrong?
Yes.
Dorothy Davis?
Yes.
Lisa Brenner?
Yes.
Chelsea Anderson? Gerald Ryan?
Yes.
Tom Curran?
Yes.
Lawrence Welty?
Yes.
Thomas Malachak?
Yes.
Andrew Durkee?
Yes.
Glenn Powell?
No.
And Margaret Hart?
Thank you. Everybody has voted. The resolution.